Well, welcome to our Christmas Eve service. We're pretty informal with it, but we also have special thanks for our musicians, for sure. Boy, they do a great job. And thanks for coming tonight, helping us celebrate this night that's special to all of us, regardless of our tradition. And through music, poems, readings, and stories, we'll be reminded of the real gifts the season has to offer. And I'll start with our first reading. It's one by a fellow by the name of Lenny Scovel, and it lets us reflect on how this holiday fits into our own tradition. It's called The Meaning of Christmas to a Unitarian Universalist. Why Christmas, especially to one who doubts? Are you not being hypocritical? Unitarian Universalists, with their penchant for secular humanism, are fond of arguing the validity of Christmas. Is it a Christian holiday, a pagan holiday, secular holiday? Even outside our UU circles, there is much apathy about Christmas. It's just another day, I've heard quoted by many. I know all this, and I don't care. I love Christmas, always have and always will. It fills me with nostalgia and generosity and goodwill. And as far as the meaning of Christmas is concerned, as a UU, I believe it is part of our spiritual maturation to search for and assign meaning to all the days of our lives. In this, Christmas is the high water mark of the year, a time when the world slows and considers our relationships with each other. Isn't that in itself enough to celebrate? Worthy of decorations, lights, and music? The gifts we give each other at this time of year are more than just demonstrations of our generosity. They're symbols of the gifts we are capable of giving on all of the other days of our lives. Gifts of love, compassion, industry, advocacy, the gifts of our common humanity. These were the values of Jesus, the true Christian values. And if we, as Unitarian Universalists, need to reconcile the language of Jesus as the Savior in celebrating Christmas, can we not acknowledge that through his ministry of compassion, he was in fact our Savior by showing us the way to save ourselves? And then now our first musical piece is called O Come, O Come, Emmanuel.
to render every act of prayer. Rejoice, rejoice, Emmanuel shall come within as hope to dwell. Our next reading is by Ken Nye, entitled Christmas Eve. The tree is all set, packages piled at its base, telephone calls from the kids confirming the times of dinner and church. Nothing much left to do. The FedEx guy just delivered the last late order, I'll wrap it, and then what? Time on my hands. Time to think. What is this all about? Christmas is about family, gathering together to celebrate. We do this ingathering every year of our lives and come to associate this night and the days around it with the people closest to our hearts. But always there is someone who is no longer there, who is still in our hearts, but forever gone from our embrace. Through the years, we all will be together, if the fates allow. What the songwriter doesn't say is, the fates will not allow it. Because we are mortal beings, and just as we all begin our journeys as babies, adored by mothers and admirers, we all will eventually be aches in the hearts of those who miss us. It is Christmas Eve when the ache is the worst. And that is why we turn again to the baby, to celebrate birth that soothes the aching heart, that gives us reason to hope and dream, that reminds us of the miracle of life, and tells us by this annual gathering of family that it is our very mortality that makes life that begins as a baby so precious, not in spite of, but because of our heartache. This is a holy and silent night in which, through adoration of a baby, we celebrate life.
was very nice. Our next reading, it's called For Every Child, A Better World by Kermit the Frog. This reading was used at last Sunday's service in Lincoln, Nebraska, which I attended when I visited my mother. And I found it also very appropriate for this evening and the season as we consider what children really need at Christmas time. So here it is. Every child needs food to eat, but sometimes there isn't enough to go around. Every child needs clean water to drink, but sometimes you have to go a long way to get it. Every child needs a home, but some children don't have one. Every child needs clean air to breathe, but sometimes it's dirty. Every sick child needs to be able to get medicine, but sometimes there isn't any. Every child needs to have the chance to go to school, but sometimes there are no books or teachers. Every child needs to play, but some children have to work. Every child needs peace, but sometimes there is war. Every child needs to be able to decide what to think and feel and believe, but some children are not allowed. All over the world, people are working to see that every child gets what every child needs. This will mean a better world for all of us, and every child needs a better world. Now, we'd like you to all join in. We've got a hymn, Go Tell It on the Mountain, which most people know, and if you want to find the words, it's number 239 in the hymnal.
Christmas Magic by Joanna Fuchs. Are we too grown up to feel a thrill as we light the Christmas tree? Are we immune to cookies, Christmas cards and Christmas glee? Are we too adult to ooh and ah at the Christmas candle's glow? Are we blasé about our gifts? Do we shun the mistletoe? Are we too mature for carols, for merry and for jolly? Do the decorations leave us cold, the ornaments and holly? Fat chance. We'll never grow too old to love the Christmas magic. A year without Christmas would be boring, even tragic. So bring it on, the candy canes, the feasting and good cheer. Oh, Christmas, lovely Christmas, you're the highlight of the year.
Under the sky, how Jesus the Savior did come forth to die for two lowly people like you and like I. I wonder, as I wander out under the sky, under the sky, how Jesus the Savior did come forth to die for two lowly people like you and like I. I wonder, as I wander out under the sky, I wonder, out under the sky, how Jesus the Savior did come forth to die for two lowly people like you and like I. I wonder, as I wander out under the sky.
Thank you. We have some meditation words this afternoon. They were written by Christine Robinson. Let us join our hearts and minds together in the spirit of meditation and prayer. May these moments of quiet lead us to the heart of the season, which is peace. May we breathe deeply of peace in this quiet place, relax into its warmth, know we are safe here, and let us open our hearts to the evening's story. Like the wandering couple, may we find that our greatest trials issue forth from our greatest joys. Like the harried innkeeper, may we find ways to be of help to others. Like the lumbering beasts, may we be silent witnesses to the unfathomable glory of life. Like the shepherds on the hill, may we know that we need never be afraid. Like the journeying wise, may we always have the courage to follow our stars. Like the angels, may we cry peace to a troubled world. Holy One, to these prayers for our transformation, we add our prayers for all of those who suffer and grieve this evening. May they find comfort. And we add our prayers for all those involved in war. May they be safe. And may this season of peace and goodwill nudge our world towards its ideals. for then will Christmas truly dawn. Amen.
In the bleak midwinter, frosty winds made moan. Earth stood hard as iron, water like a stone. Snow on snow had fallen, snow on snow on snow. In the bleak midwinter, long, long ago, angels and archangels may have gathered there, cherubim and seraphim.
From How the Grinch Stole Christmas by Dr. Seuss. So he paused, and the Grinch put his hand to his ear. And he did not hear a sound rising over the snow. And he did hear a sound rising over the snow. It started in low, then it started to grow. But the sound wasn't sad. Why, this sound was merry. But it couldn't be so. But it was merry, very. He stared down at Whoville. The Grinch popped his eyes. Then he shook. What he saw was a shocking surprise. Every Who down in Whoville, tall and the small, was singing without any presents at all. He hadn't stopped Christmas from coming. It came. Somehow or another, it just came the same. And the Grinch, with his Grinch feet ice cold in the snow, stood puzzling and puzzling. How could it be so? It came without ribbons. It came without tags. It came without packages, boxes, or bags. And he puzzled 3 hours till his puzzler was sore. Then the Grinch thought of something he hadn't before. Maybe Christmas, he thought, doesn't come from a store. Maybe Christmas, perhaps, means a little bit more.
Please join in singing Deck the Halls, hymn number 235 in your hymnals. I guess, as Monty Python would say, and now for something completely different. This is about Santa Claus, and many of you have probably seen this on the internet. This is the scientific explanation of Santa Claus. It probably came out about 1990 and has been traveling the internet independently with a life of its own from there on. First, currently, there are no known species of reindeer that can fly. Additionally, no species have nasal luminescence. However, since new species are constantly being discovered, for instance, the Yoda bat that was discovered this year, this does not completely rule out flying reindeer. Two, we will assume there are 2 billion children, persons under 18, in the world. But since Santa appears to be religiously selective rather than egalitarian, he only services 15% of that total, which reduces the 2 billion to a mere 378 million. Using an average census rate of 3.5 children per household, these children are spread among 91.8 million homes. And for the sake of our ensuing calculations, we will assume that there is at least one good child in each household. assuming he travels east to west, Santa has 31 hours of Christmas to work with, thanks to the different time zones and the rotation of the Earth. Dividing the 31 hours by the 91.8 million homes, Santa will visit 822.6 homes per second. This is to say that Santa has 1.2 milliseconds to park, hop out of the sleigh, jump down the chimney, fill the stockings, distribute the remaining presents under the tree, eat whatever snacks has been left, get back up the chimney, get back into the sleigh, and move on to the next house. Assuming that each of these 91.8 million stops are evenly distributed around the Earth, which of course we know to be false, but for purposes of our calculations, we will accept. This results in a travel distance of 0.78 miles per household and a total trip distance of 71.6 million miles. Based on our previous assumptions of distance and time, we can thus calculate that Santa's sleigh is moving at approximately 650 miles per second, or 3,000 times the speed of sound. For purposes of comparison, the fastest man-made object has been the Helios space probes, which travel at only 43.63 miles per second. And a conventional reindeer can run 15 miles per hour, unless being chased by a pack of wolves. Let's consider the sleigh payload. That is, the overall weight of the toys delivered. Assuming each child will get nothing more than, say, a medium-sized Lego set, about 2 pounds. The sleigh is carrying 321,300 tons, not counting Santa, who is invariably described as overweight. On land, a conventional reindeer can pull up to about 300 pounds. Even granting that the currently undiscovered flying reindeer could pull 10 times the normal amount, it would take 214,200 reindeer to pull the sleigh. The number of reindeer itself increases the payload, not even counting the weight of the sleigh, to 353,430 tons. Again, for comparison, this is 4 times the weight of the Queen Elizabeth. The boat, not the queen, not the person. 353,000 tons traveling at 650 miles per second creates enormous air resistance, creating far more heat than a spacecraft does upon re-entering the Earth's atmosphere. As a result of this friction, the lead pair of reindeer will absorb about 14.3 quintillion joules of energy per second each. In short, they will burst into flame almost instantaneously, exposing the reindeer behind them and creating a deafening sonic boom in their wake. The entire reindeer team will be vaporized within 4.26 milliseconds. Santa, meanwhile, will be subjected to forces 17,500 times greater than gravity. A 250-pound Santa, which seems ludicrously slim, would be pinned to the back of his sleigh by 4,315,015 pounds of force. So, what can we conclude from all of this? My conclusion is our capacity to believe, even the unbelievable, our capacity to explain, our capacity to imagine what does not exist and create it. These are all amazing. Perhaps scientifically we will need higher math, quantum physics, and string theory to explain the phenomena of Santa Claus. But in the end, this does not keep us from each being our own Santa Claus.
Every time a hand reaches out to help another, that is Christmas. Every time someone puts anger aside and strives for understanding, that is Christmas. Every time people forget their differences and realize their love for each other, that is Christmas. Blessed be, and thank you for all who contributed to our service again. It was lots of beautiful music and fun readings. So for our last Christmas sing, let's join hands or kind of get in a circle up in front here, and we could sing Silent Night, and it's number 251 in the hymnal, so if you want to follow it in words, but let's just all get in a circle. We have refreshments in the social hall, so please join us.